WGN, a very happy Monday evening to you all. It's John Hansen here right now. Mr. Landecker will be starting a little later tonight as Your Money Matters gets a bonus hour. And whenever we get a bonus hour, I like to kind of pick the brain of an expert and let you do the same thing. 312-981-7200 to call in or text in to chat with my good friend Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan Law. Patrick, how are you?
I'm good.
How was work today?
Work is really busy. It's been really busy. So, you know, it's good.
For a good reason or a bad reason? I guess when people call you, it's never all that great.
No, usually not.
They don't call you? Well, I guess if they get hired, you can look over
there.
Yeah,
I can. Just not what this work is about, but there's a lot of litigation going on.
Okay. Well, that's what you do. That's what you signed up for.
Yep.
When you went to law school, Patrick. Stop complaining.
It's true. I'm not complaining. You're asking me. I'm busy. It's good. It's all good. Maybe not for them, but, you know, it's good. Working through it.
I think this is the first time I've had you on in the 7 p.m. hour during a weekday. So if we have listeners that are exclusive John Landecker listeners, what is it that you do? What does employment law mean? And you do more than law. You counsel people through what?
Anything to do with the workplace. It could be a legal issue. Maybe folks don't know if it's illegal or not, so we talk about that. If, you know, like in your last segment, they have trouble with their boss or a colleague, how to work through those issues and how to deal with them internally with HR, your boss, or something like that, and determining if it's something you should complain about or not, and really how to handle it. But then working through all sorts of litigation and non-litigation matters. But a lot of it is counseling, how to work through certain situations at work.
Right. And how to do it where maybe they don't even know the workplace that they've hired, that you, the employee, has hired a lawyer. Counseling them through how to manage the situation, perhaps without even getting to the level of litigation, if all goes well.
Yeah, most of the time it does not get to the level of litigation. Most of the time it's helping them work through a problem, maybe sending a demand letter, maybe working with them to create emails or messages that they want to, you know, get across a point with HR or something like that. But it really depends on the circumstance and what the person is trying to work out. What's their goal? And then I work backwards. Okay, if your goal is to leave, you know, do you want a separation package? That kind of stuff. Can you get another job? Do you have a non-compete? If your goal is to stay and work out the issue, how are we going to do that? So I start with what the goal is. But oftentimes, John, people don't know what they want to do, or they don't know if it's illegal or how to handle a situation. So I give them a bunch of stuff to think about, and then, you know, we can determine what to do next.
The 847 says, I got laid off, though I shouldn't say laid off because I was a contractor, but it feels like I got laid off from a job because I worked there all the time. I used all their equipment. I just billed them the hours, never got any PTO, but this is the relationship that they wanted for me, so I went with it. My question is, since I had to pay the payroll taxes on myself over the years, and this company treated me like a contractor when it should have treated me like an employee, can I sue them for those payroll wages?
It's a really good question. Misclassification is a fairly common issue. Assuming this person should have been a W-2 employee and not an independent contractor, part of the claim will be the taxes that they paid when they did not need to pay them, yes.
Because your company pays your payroll taxes.
Yeah, they pay their part of it.
Their part of it. They're split.
Yes. But if you're an independent contractor, obviously all you just get a 1099. It's all you. So yes, those are damages that the person can assert if they're truly misclassified.
If someone out there is a contractor, what would be a few key things that would go, huh, maybe I'm not such a contractor after all?
Control. Control of hours, control of pay, control of what you do, how you do it, what you use to do it, who your boss is, what kind of direction they have over you. All those sorts of things go into determining whether you're misclassified.
So going in regularly to do work for a company doesn't necessarily make you a W-2 employee, but if they tell you you have to be here these days at these hours and you must report every week, that might change the level of what you're doing.
It might, but this is a multi-part test, so you have to ask a bunch of questions to determine the level of control, etc. It's not a one-factor thing, it's a multi-factor thing. So we ask all those questions. If a lot of those questions get answered in a way where the person really is a W-2 employee, then you've got a good misclassification case.
312-981-7200, our phone number. Text from the 815. I know that there's age discrimination protection for people over the age of 40. My son, I feel, is experiencing age discrimination in his 20s, not given opportunities, and others in their younger ages feel the same way at this company. Can someone currently sue for age discrimination under the age of 40?
No. That's just not how the law works. Is there a discrimination, maybe if you define it as not illegal discrimination,
right,
then if they're treated differently because they're young, that's not necessarily illegal. There's no legal protection for it.
But it sounds like you have no doubt that this happens places.
It happens a lot. It happens a lot. And so maybe there's something else going on. Maybe it's not age related. I don't know. But you cannot sue for age discrimination if you're under 40.
I think there's efforts in some states to change that, isn't
there? There is. They have not been successful. And I think, you know why, John?
Why is that?
That is just going to litigation is going to explode. The EEOC, where you have to file if you allege discrimination first, there'll be so many more charges filed with the EEOC and a state agency.
EEOC stands for?
Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Okay. And then every state has its own agency, like the EEOC. So there's just not a lot of appetite to protect those under 40.
Here's my
Legally speaking.
Here's my thought about how that might change.
Okay.
With AI, a lot of entry-level jobs... You already made a face, Patrick.
I'm sorry.
Let me finish
the question. Sorry. Go ahead.
We found that a lot of AI...
Don't look at me when you talk.
All right,
maybe
I'll look
that's
over
the
here.
Problem.
I'm going to look at Iridian. Iridian, you tell me. Is this okay? AI is taking a lot of jobs from younger people, right? Whether it's paralegals, doing the work, the quote-unquote grunt work that was expected of employees in their 20s. That in and of itself is not age discrimination. But let's say companies are starting to discriminate based on who they hire. I'm not hiring people in their 20s. I'm not hiring recent college graduates. I have no use for them. That could maybe rise to the level at some point where there's a groundswell for people saying, look, this is not fair to our youngest generation. You don't see that happening in the near future?
I see all of that happening. I don't see it translating into a change of the law. That's what I would say. That's already happening. We all know it's happening, right? But the complaints of those folks in their 20s and 30s that AI is taking their entry-level jobs, I don't think that's going to translate to a change in the law. I don't think there's appetite for that.
Okay. I just, for me, it's like age discrimination, whether it's young or old, is not good. It shouldn't be done. I don't know why there's only protections for people over 40. I don't know if it's as maybe because it's more rampant, or that people over the age of 40 are more likely to vote and Congress is more apt to please those people than younger people.
I think historically...
Shots fired.
Yeah.
Even though now I'm over 40, so...
I think historically that's been the class that needed protection. So I'll give you an analogy. The law used to... We've talked about this, John. The law used to disfavor claims by white employees for
yes.
race discrimination. Can they allege discrimination? Yes, but that has not been how the EEOC or courts have really looked at it favorably. They have not. So now, though, that's changed.
After the Supreme Court's 9-0 ruling.
Yes. So to your point, it's possible that a previously unprotected category, a class of persons, can be protected. I'm just telling you, I don't think it's going to happen.
I think the way it would happen would not be through new legislation.
Okay.
I think it would be through the exact same way that what just happened with race happens for young people. You get a lawsuit together, you go all the way to the Supreme Court and say, if you cannot discriminate and get in trouble for discriminating against people over the age of 40, why not me? And I think they might win that argument. I got to take a break. I'll let you respond on the other end. 312-981-7200. Paul, we're going to get to your question in one moment. I'm going to give Mr. Patrick Dolan, our employment lawyer, a chance to retort to my point. We had a question about age discrimination in reverse, how people in their 20s should be able to sue for age discrimination. I said, I don't think Congress will make a law of that, but I would not be surprised if a cohort of people in their 20s sue and perhaps make their way to the Supreme Court, who ultimately, like they did, ruling that white people have the same ability to cause or make an argument for racial discrimination. I think the Supreme Court would maybe rule, yeah, the demarcation line shouldn't be people over 40. It should just be if you're discriminated based on your age. Your retort, counselor.
Well, the big difference is Title VII, when it mentions race, it doesn't define specifically what that is. Under the Age Discrimination in Employment Act and the amendments, it specifies 40. So the Supreme Court, there's a bright line there. So the only thing that can change is Congress. Congress has to change that law. Otherwise, the Supreme Court will interpret a statute that has a bright line in a way that says there is no bright line. It already states anyone over 40 has a claim for age discrimination.
The Supreme Court doesn't always overturn cases that are written by Congress, the laws, but they have before. They can find a law passed by the federal Congress as unconstitutional. I don't know if they will. I don't know if it's a violation of part of the 14th Amendment, but maybe they could. I'm just saying.
I think it's highly unlikely, John.
We'll see. Let's go to Paul. Paul has a question, probably less heady than what we're talking about. Paul, what do you got for us?
Hi. I work for a large auto manufacturer in Illinois. And we get reimbursed for our cell phone usage because we're tied into the company's robocall system.
Nice.
And my question is, does this apply to all employers? My daughter works for a company, and they're required to use their cell phone for work. So do they have an opportunity to get it reimbursed? Is there certain laws that require only so many people for the company? How does this work?
Great question.
That is a great question. So if an employer requires that you use your cell phone for work purposes, you are entitled to be reimbursed for those costs. So you've already got it. You know, your daughter, though, should be reimbursed by their employer if they are required to use it for their job.
Is it a percentage on how much is personal versus business, or do most places just have a flat fee they give you and, hey, that covers this?
Yes. Most companies have a policy that includes a flat fee that says, you know, since or if you're using your phone for work, we'll pay you X.
All right, Paul. Well, tell her to ask her company more specifically, yeah. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Very good. I like that, sir, that respect that Paul just showed me.
Well, you deserve
Patrick,
it,
you
John.
Could, well, you don't often show it. Yeah, so.
Well, sometimes you don't deserve it.
312-981-7200. Patrick, I hate to ask. Can you stick around a little longer?
Sure.
Okay. Are you sure or no?
No, I am. I just didn't even know what time it is.
I think Patrick wants to go.
I think it's like the middle of the night.
Well, we might have Patrick or not. I don't know. We'll talk offline. I'll also do a question of the day. I'll give that to you in a moment. Then we have Ryan Burroughs News coming up on WGN.
What matters most when choosing?
Patrick, someone wanted to follow up about the cell phone question. They say, I used to work for a big box hardware store and a small box hardware store. So all the
a lot of boxes.
They need to go to a medium box
yeah,
one next.
Medium.
He said they've never been compensated if we use our phones to help customers. And trust me, we do every day. It's the expectation of if you are supposed to or need to, right? It's not just if you happen to help out a couple customers, which is great, by the way. That's very nice of them.
No, if the company requires you to use it as part of your job, then it should be reimbursed. But if you just use it because it's convenient for you or whatever, then the company is not obligated to pay you for that.
And before this person texts in, if they say, well, it is obligated, well, then you need to talk to your bosses, right?
Yes. If they require you to use that phone for work, they need to pay you for it.
Okay. We had the jobs report a couple weeks ago, and I can hear in your groan.
Yeah.
It was not good.
No.
It was job losses and some revisions that way. Now, there were always caveats. It's one data point. Doesn't tell the whole picture. Some of it might be the government shutdown. We had some bad weather in January. What's your prognosis right now? Or I guess more prognosis or less prognosis, more your pulse of what is happening currently in the job market?
I still think that there is some change on the horizon because of AI that is certainly not washed through the system yet. But, you know, we've had some layoffs, some pretty big layoffs recently in some larger companies. I just, it's really hard to predict, John. I still think we're going to see some job losses in certain categories because of AI. But outside of that, I think the market is pretty stable. It's pretty consistent. Companies are not making changes, but for AI, I think.
There's not a lot of churn, though. Like, the great resignation period is so far in the rearview mirror, no one remembers
it. That has not happened for a while. And companies, I think, are, for the most part, still in the no hire, no fire. And so people are sitting on their jobs. The only exception is the impact of AI.
There was a stat that I'm trying to find here.
Okay.
For the number of unemployed people per job opening going up. And then there was actually a statistic. I'm going to try and look for this. But basically, I think it was 241 people apply to every job opening. That, to me, suggests, and you're the expert, it's taking longer to find a job, and companies, as you mentioned, are kind of frozen for acting fast and hiring people, right?
I think that's basically true, and I think the folks who are looking for jobs tend to be the younger and the older folks, and I think they're probably after a lot of the same jobs given the changes in AI. So I think that's right.
What did your, I mean, I don't know, you don't dish out advice. You should, sure. I shouldn't say that as a law guest, but if people are listening right now, they got kids or grandkids that are about to enter school, I mean, what jobs do you see that are a little bit more stable? Or do you feel comfortable answering that, or are you just...
I think it's tough to answer,
like,
because
healthcare is always...
Yeah, that's really good. And I think some jobs in finance, if you can use AI to your advantage... See, that's sort of the thing, John, mm-hmm. is you've got to figure out how to use AI, learn about it, how to use it, how to be more efficient. Everybody, including lawyers, and anybody who deals with a lot of information, is using AI to make themselves more efficient. So it's really hard to say individual jobs, you know, in terms of what to focus on.
Okay. Who should be reaching out to you, and how do they get a hold of you?
They can call me at 312-332-7800. Anybody with a workplace issue, just a question about what to do about your compensation or leaving a job, or can I get this other job because I have a non-compete, anything to do with your job.
312-332-7800. I have that tattooed on my right arm, Patrick.
Looks nice.
Just for you.
Thanks.
And I'm sure we'll chat again soon, okay?
Thanks, buddy.
That's Patrick Dolan, our employment lawyer of Conti and Dolan fame. Yes, of Karen Conti fame. Patrick, she does a little of the heavy lifting, I'm just got to say.
She does most of the heavy lifting.
708, by the way, says the trades for jobs for people. You want to weigh in on that really
quickly?
Yeah,
I think that's great. Anything that cannot be supplanted by AI, and a lot of those physical jobs, 100% agree.
Yeah, that summit I was with the Innovation DuPage, a lot of emphasis was put on great trade jobs in advanced manufacturing, which is not what we think of when we think of 1950s manufacturing, but 2020s manufacturing, where they're still making stuff, but the people, their hands necessarily aren't doing it, but still in the trades, they supply the electricity for these incredible computers. They do some amazing things that are done to manually make these machines work and keep running efficiently that are now what the trades jobs are of the future.
And you know what? Use AI to find out what good jobs are going to be around in the future.
Amen to that. All right, now you go.